Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7. I want to speak to you this morning about the God that Eldon just sang about and what God can do for your life. Excellent choice in music this morning, Eldon. I know you didn't make that choice. The Holy Spirit did. You couldn't choose something that good. Nothing against Eldon, but why? Just perfect. I'm going to talk to you about wisdom. Living wisely in a broken world. If you live wisely in this world, most everyone will think you a fool. They'll say you're going to get beaten up, you're going to get taken advantage of, this will never work, don't do it. But I want to make this connection with you this morning, that living wisely is living Christ. Understand, please, John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word of God is the personification of the person of Christ. You say, I love the Lord. You cannot love the Lord without loving His Word, because His Word is Him. His Word is the disclosure of who He is. And in our text this morning, in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 19, I want you to see this. Wisdom strengtheneth the wise man more than 10 mighty men which are in the city. That wisdom is the reality of knowing the person of Christ, knowing His Word, and living by those principles and that truth. And it will strengthen you for life far more than any of the silly devices that you will find in this world. I pray that God would open your eyes to see that today, and that you will make a commitment in your heart to follow the wisdom of God's Word, though it be incredibly difficult and even frightening. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, as we open your Word together today, I pray that by your Spirit you would instruct and teach us. Lord, in some measure, I just want to pray that you would cause us to walk in wisdom. Draw us to yourself in such a way that we are disposed to the path of wisdom, to honor you in all of our choices, in all of our values. God, reach into the hearts of each one this morning. Lord, by your Word, in such a way to bring them conviction that these are not the words of the preacher, these are the words of God. It's something in which we may trust our lives for all of time and all of eternity. I plead for these souls who sit before me today that their lives will be strengthened and sweetened in the way that only you can do it. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to talk to you this morning about the benefits of wisdom. If you were with us on Mother's Day, we spoke of this unique biblical heroine, Hannah. Hannah was in a very difficult circumstance of life. she was not happy in any degree. She was put in a situation that no woman should ever be put in. Her husband, Elkanah, had two wives. No woman should be ever put in it. God never intended such foolishness. And incidentally, we see the Bible filled with that kind of foolishness. Peninnah was the other woman. Peninnah, unlike Hannah, was very fruitful. She had many children. And for that reason, she supposed herself far superior to Hannah. And she saw to it that Hannah knew and understood that. And she just raked on Hannah day after day about how she was a person of no value to Elkanah. I don't know why he even keeps you around the house. You can't cook, you can't clean, you can't bear children. You are of no value around here. You are a nobody. Besides that, you've got such a foggy head, you can't even think straight. I don't know what Peninnah used and how many things she used to just disrupt Hannah's life. And to make that even worse, understand with me that Elkanah permitted it. Now, Elkanah, if you're going to be foolish enough to choose two wives, understand that you've chosen to live in conflict, but you ought to do something to reduce that level of conflict in your home. You irresponsible, unloving man. He wasn't faithful to Hannah at all. And when Hannah brought it to his attention, he said, "Oh, what's troubling you? Just overlook it." Right? So, you know, as husbands, how often do we do that to our wives? Now, I'm talking about those of us who have just one. Okay? They come to us with their particular issues and problems, and you say, "Oh, you foggy-headed, silly person. That's not a big deal. Forget it." Well, it's a big deal to her. If it's a big deal to her, it's a big deal. Perception in those areas are realities, guys. Deal with it. I had a long talk with our men at the men's retreat about that. Elkanah didn't do it. So what's Hannah to do? Hannah responded in wisdom. That's why she's a heroine. There are several things she could have done. She could have gotten into an open conflict with Elkanah, saying, "Elkanah, you don't love me. You don't treat me right. You don't make Peninnah shut up. You've got to do something about this. And if you don't do something about it, I'm going to go talk to your friends. And I'm going to tell them what a lousy, no good crumb you are, Elkanah. And I may even go talk to the priest about it." She didn't do that. The other thing she could have done was enter into an open conflict with Peninnah, and the scripture doesn't suggest that she ever did anything like that. You know, tit for tat. "Well, you think I'm empty-headed. What about you, you dummy? You burned the rice yesterday." You know, you could have gone into all kinds of stuff like that. She didn't do that. You know what she did? She prayed. She prayed. Now, part of our scripture this morning was Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and don't lean unto your understanding." You know, there's so many times we think, this is how I ought to solve this problem today. Hannah didn't do that. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him." That's what she did. She acknowledged God. She came over to God and she says, "It is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for me. Lord, here's my problem today. I want to acknowledge You and trust You for the solution." And what a solution God gave to Hannah. He rose her up above her adversary and blessed her so richly because she resolved her problem with wisdom. I'm sure that most thought her a fool. God honored her wisdom. We have great admiration for strength, especially as it would relate to military strength, and it would seem that that is what Solomon references here. Yet he observes, as he will later, that wisdom will go much further in protecting a city or a person or a home or whatever may be cited. Wisdom, he says, strengtheneth a man more than 10 mighty men. It is for that reason that we find in the Proverbs that wisdom is better than all else. And I am not stretching it if I make it say this: Jesus is better than all else. Matthew 11, 28 through 30, Jesus Christ said this: Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And some of us are so foolish as to do nothing more than come and bow before Him and think that we're going to get our rest in that bowing. He says, Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Saturate yourself in the person of Christ through studying the Scriptures and understanding the wisdom of God. That's why Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 that the crying devotion of his life was to know Christ. Hey, and some of us think, well, I know how I'm going to get to know Christ. I'm just going to sit here and I'm going to think about Him. And I'm going to think and I'm going to think and I'm going to think. You realize you've got a fallen mind and your thinker ain't going to work? The way you get to know Christ is to get into this book. Search the Scriptures, for in them you think that you have life. But they are that, says Christ, which testify of me. You won't find Him in meditation. You won't find Him in devotion. You'll find Him in this book. This is the lone, solid, substantial connection we have with God that's been preserved for us through over 3,000 years for our benefit and for our admonition. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it is profitable for correction, for doctrine, for instruction, that the man of God might be complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 5 through 9. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Understand that, folks. When the temptations and trials of life come to get you off to different paths, to forsake your commitment to Christ, to walk in the way of this world, understand. Don't forsake wisdom. She will preserve you. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver unto thee. Oh, the eternal, sweet, and even temporal advantages of wisdom are beyond your furthest imagination. Now, let me just pause at this point and say to Jess and to Jakub. You guys are branching out in life. You are at a crisis point in life. Do it with godly wisdom. It will make all of the difference. Oh, young people. Flory, you can make that commitment today. And so can you, TK. And the rest of you that are here. The eternal value and benefit of wisdom. You know, some of you are so old that you ain't got much time left to benefit from it. Now, I'm all for you, and I want you to have good lives and that kind of stuff, but man, I wrestle for our kids. Let me give you an illustration of this, if I may. Turn with me, if you read the Bible, we read this week, 2 Samuel chapter 13. This is just a wonderful illustration. 2 Samuel chapter 13. It's a story about Amnon. Amnon was one of David's sons. He fell in love with Tamar. Tamar was his half-sister. Now I say he fell in love with her. He was attracted to her by her physical appearance. Now today we call that love. It ought to be called lust. And he was wondering, what in the world? He was sick. He was lovesick about this. You know, it means he had passionately become an idiot. And his cousin, Jonadab, saw what was going on and gave him some advice. Chapter 13, verse 3. Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeiah, David's brother. That's how we know he was a cousin. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. The word subtle is used also of Satan in the Bible. It means he was street smart. And he said unto him, why art thou, being the king's son, lean from day to day? Hey, you can have anything you want. Why are you acting like this? Wilt thou not tell me? And Amnon said unto him, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. And Jonadab said unto him, lay thee down on the bed and make thyself sick. And when thy father cometh to see thee, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come and give me meat and dress the meat in my sight that I may see it and eat it at her hand. What a wicked idea Jonadab planted in Amnon's mind. And Amnon did it. So often, we follow the path of worldly advice. Now, if you followed that story, you know what it ultimately comes to. All kinds of disruption. Amnon's death. Just the whole family gets separated. It just destroys everything. That's what the world does. The world's advice just destroys everything. Redneck wisdom. Street smart foolishness. Soap opera silliness. And our world is full of it, and it permeates into the families of our churches. And I'm just amazed at how silly we act sometimes. Rather than walk in wisdom, a world that is just destitute of heavenly knowledge. Proverbs chapter 14, 1 says, a wise woman buildeth her house, but a foolish woman teareth it down with her own hands. I'm attempting to make a contrast with you here. You have a choice, says Solomon, to walk in wisdom or walk in the foolish path of this world. The foolish path of this world will destroy your life here and condemn you to hell forever. But it will appeal to your mind, it will appeal to your senses, it will look good to your friends. If you walk in wisdom, you will be thought crazy, wasting your life, putting yourself at risk. But you will end up with the most blessed life and the most blessed eternity, far more than you could ever imagine. But you have to choose that path by faith. Now, from this place, our writer goes on. We go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. And join me at verse 20. For there's not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Also, take no heed unto the words that are spoken, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. For oft times also thine own heart knoweth that thou thyself likewise hast cursed others. All this have I proved by wisdom. I said, I will be wise, but it was far from me. It seems that our author's thoughts are brought together on this matter of wisdom. It is not that we gain too much wisdom, but in our seeking for wisdom, let us be reasonable and understand that we will never achieve a perfection or wholeness in wisdom. As much as you choose to be wise, you will often fall from that path. There is not a just man on earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Solomon is setting us up here for the person who chooses wisdom because he understands the hurdles that will have to be crossed. Because as soon as you choose that path, you will find that it is a difficult path to walk, and failure is common. Nothing ruins a good golf game more than one bad swing. It gets into your head. And next time you're determined, you're going to correct it, and you make the next one worse than the former. All because of one bad swing. And I think sometimes we do that in life. Solomon is addressing us with the reality of failure. Now look how he exposes that. Verse 21 and 22. Take no heed unto... He's illustrating here, okay? It says, take no heed unto all the words that are spoken, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. You know, you ever get down because you're criticized? Now, look what he goes on to say. For oft times also thine own heart knoweth that thou thyself likewise hast cursed others. What's he confronting us with? The reality that we don't walk in wisdom well. This is what Paul talked about in the 7th chapter of Romans, where he said, the good that I would, I do not, and the evil that I would not, that I do. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? We are not going to successfully pursue the path of wisdom until we reckon with the reality that we are often going to stumble on the path. Now, let me talk to you about what it means to stumble on that path. It means you sin. It means you fail. It means you fall flat on your face. Well, you know, we've often done that kind of thing, okay, physically. You know, you ever kind of stumble on the curb and you fall down and you get up real quick and look around. Did anybody see that? You know, anybody know your klutz? You know, that kind of thing. And we laugh about that. And we know it's our nature that we don't want to stumble, we don't want to fall. Let me tell you how that really gets bad. Because when we stumble and fall morally or character-wise, unless we acknowledge it, we'll never get back up and recover. Think of that same person flailing around on the ground, you know, and his legs are going and somebody comes along and says, anything wrong? No, I'm fine. I'm just walking down the highway here. You're falling on your face. No, I'm not. No, I'm not falling. I'm okay. I'll be all right. But you know, we deny our own failures. We deny our own sins. And by doing that, we just continue to perpetuate the problem. Because we are too weak-minded, too overcome by guilt to acknowledge the fact, hey, I fell flat on my face. What silliness. And so we just deny it and perpetuate it. Or make excuses for it. Who put that curb there? That is a stupid place for a curb. That wasn't my fault. That was a curb's fault. We play those games, don't we? Hey, listen, I know I spoke a little harshly, but that wasn't my fault. That was your fault. King David had been overcome by sin. God sent Nathan to correct him. Psalm 51 is a result of that experience in David's life. And there in the middle of that psalm, David makes this confession. Against thee and thee only have I done this sin and committed this iniquity in your sight. Folks, if we're going to walk the path of wisdom, let us walk it honestly. Let us understand in the pursuit of that path we're often going to fail. In the book of Proverbs it says, a just man falleth seven times and rises again. It is not seldom that we find ourselves in the middle of a mess of our own making due to our own foolishness. While it is not welcome, it is to be expected. And God's blessing and deliverance is not prefaced on never making foolish or sinful mistakes. Solomon observes that we have seen the foolishness of others, and we will experience the same in ourselves. Wisdom is a very difficult and elusive attainment. If nothing else, it seems our author is saying that we must be realistic about our true potential, and if I may say, our fallen condition. And that seems to be the content of his final observations in this chapter. Verse 25 through 29. I applied mine heart to know and to search and to seek out wisdom and the reason of things and to know the wickedness of folly, even the foolishness of madness. And now he gives us an illustration of that kind of life. He said, I find more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets, and her hands are as bands. Whoso pleaseth God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be taken by her. Just that one thing, a loose woman. It's just one illustration of the foolishness and madness in this world. Now he goes on in verse 27. Behold, this have I found, saith the preacher, counting one by one to find out the account, which my soul seeketh, but I find not. One man among a thousand have I found, but a woman among all those have I not found. Solomon said, how many men do I see? How many women do I see? faithfully pursuing a path of wisdom? Not many. Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. Here Solomon speaks of his activity of searching out wisdom and his observation of foolish and sinful acts of man. And he calls this foolish sinfulness madness. Just one area of that madness is the matter of immorality and the seduction of men by women. Our world is so overcome by the madness of immorality today. We just think we know better than God, and that this is going to be okay. I can get through this, and this will make my life better. I need this. You know, the interesting thing about immorality is you pay the price in your own person. It harms and injures your own heart and mind and soul. He finds this to be a dreadful and terrible snare. And we may observe that he may well have experienced deeply the imagery of this temptation. His observation is that there are truly very few wise men and even fewer number of wise women. God made men upright, he observes, but they have done innumerable things to destroy that upright condition. I want to take you back to the 24th chapter of Proverbs in one verse, and we're going to close with that. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 16. I quoted it a moment ago. A just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. The word mischief there means wretched miserableness. I want to talk to you this morning about following the path of wisdom. First of all, I want to encourage you to make a commitment to it. Now, if you're going to make a commitment to it, you've got to know it. And so I'm going to give you a challenge today. If you want to walk in wisdom, then get to know what wisdom is. I challenge you to memorize the first 18 verses of Proverbs chapter 3. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and peace and long life shall he add unto thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and men. There are a series of couplets that go all the way to verse 13. A command and a promise. A command and a promise. If you're going to walk in wisdom, you're going to have to know what it is. I'm challenging you this morning. Make a commitment to walk in wisdom. It's the best investment you can make in life. If I had investment opportunities here that, you know, could make every one of you a millionaire today, I assure you that this investment is better. It's a far greater investment. There are a lot of unhappy, wealthy people in our world. The second thing I want to say is if you have fallen from the path of wisdom, for goodness sakes, acknowledge it and get up and get back on the path. Don't make excuses for yourself. You just need to understand this, and we all fall off of it. We're all incorrigibly wicked. We're that by nature. God, by the redemptive work that he's done in our heart, has allowed us to see and acknowledge that so we don't have to continue in it. Get up! Dust yourself off! Join the group of dastardly Christians who are bumbling their way through life! That's what we do! It'll help you get off your own case, and it'll help you get off everybody else's case. And let's enjoy our Savior, Jesus Christ. Back to the song that Alden sang. Someone slipped and fell. Was that someone you? Get up. Join us. We're all just a bunch of bumbling sinners, having been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, set upon the path of life, walking it together for His glory and our blessing. Let's enjoy that path of life together. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word and the privilege to study it together today. I pray now, Father, that you will take your word and seal it within the hearts of those who have heard it. Grant them the joy and the confidence to believe it and the commitment to follow it, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. We have a good hymn to kind of seal our thoughts together today. 378, I Surrender All. We need to constantly bring ourselves to this position where we stand before our Savior and say, I surrender to you. Well, you may have to go back to 2 Samuel chapter 13 and read about Amnon. It helps me to read those kind of stories and understand what a mess we can make out of things when we do it our way. And then go back and read about Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and 2 and see what can happen when we do things God's way. God has a blessed life for you. Live it with joy.